All right, turn to Matthew chapter 5. I wrote out some notes a little bit over a week ago, and I had 2 pages. And all week long I thought, I'll rush through, I'll go ahead, I'll move through right on through this. I was able last week to give you an introduction that was like 4 words. Well, that's not going to work this week. But Penny and I and Ray and Kathy talked some yesterday evening, and it's good to have them with us too. We talked some yesterday evening, and I thought I need to condense this down and concentrate on some of the things that we actually talked about last night. I didn't plan it that way. You know, some of the things we talked about last night are some of the things I want to try to talk about this morning. But as it may, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 is my text. Just one verse. Now, of course, this is what is traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount. We don't know for sure what mount it was, and it really doesn't matter. But it's the Sermon on the Mount. And in the beginning of the sermon, what we often call as preachers, his introduction, the introduction, Christ's introduction in his Sermon on the Mount is what we call the Beatitudes, the blessings. And he says, blessed are, you know, he has those things. And one of those Beatitudes is this, verse 6. Blessed, and I say blessed, you say blessed, I may say both. And Joe talked about who and whom, and I have a few whoms in here, and I ain't for sure whether I got them right or not now. I'm serious. So if I get it wrong English, you have to ask me later, what did you really mean, who or whom? I'm serious with that. You kind of scared me back there, Joe. I thought, I need to be up on my English more. But listen to what he says. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart.
Yes, sir.
I believe that with all of my heart. As introduction, first of all, I do not believe that there will be one single individual in this world, has been, is now, or shall be, at least until that final day that Joe was talking about. There will not be one person who does not hunger and thirst in this manner who shall not be filled. Right. Not one. Amen. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for some of them shall be filled. Amen. Is that what it says? No, for the same day, for they shall be filled. Amen. The very fact that they hunger and thirst is a guarantee they're going to be filled.
Yes.
Do you see that? That's a true beatitude. These are not mights or maybes or ifs. This is sure. This is absolute. And this is not Christ simply looking into the future and saying, I can say this to you. This is true because blessed are they.
That's it.
And when you have the blessed, Joe, it's kind of along the line of what you said. When you have the blessed, there must, by default, be a what? A blesser.
Amen.
You know,
that's right.
And without contradiction, the lesser is always blessed of the greater.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what the book says.
Yeah.
Now I want to try to deal in detail with this one beatitude. But I need to set the scene. I want us just to try to be as brief as I can, but thankfully Joe left me a few extra minutes. He didn't take a lot of time this morning. I want to consider the Sermon on the Mount in general, to give us a general idea about the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I'm going to give you a few things, and I want you to think about what I'm saying, and then go back later. You can get the tape. Modern day, just about everything is taped. You can go back and listen to it over and over again. Get your Bible out, a pen and a paper and pencil, and check these things out.
Yeah.
But what I want to do is give you a few things, first of all, just to think about.
Yeah.
And I want you to think for yourselves. I don't want you to say, well, Walter said that. We're not big on that here, but Walter said that, therefore I believe it because the preacher said it. We're not that kind of ilk around here. But we are of that ilk. If the preacher says it, and it is, thus saith the Lord, then we know we best believe it because it's not the preacher's word.
Exactly.
It's God's word. I'm not up here preaching myself. I'm not going to stand here and tell you I've always preached Christ. I don't think I've always preached Christ. I think I have miserably failed sometimes. But my desire is to preach nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My message is about Him, not about me or not about you. Though we may say things, I may say things about myself and about you.
Yeah.
Just a few things here. Now remember, think about this. Read it later. Study on this. This was a sermon to some about themselves. You'll see that in chapter 5, verse 11 through 16. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And then look at the qualifier, for my sake.
Yeah.
Now everybody has somebody in this world that talks about them.
Yeah.
We all have enemies or detractors. If you're the worst piece of work in this world, you're going to have detractors. But if you're one of the most honest, upright individuals on the face of this earth, you're going to have detractors.
Yeah.
So this is not just about having detractors. It's having detractors for my sake.
Yeah.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. So you see what I'm saying? It was a sermon to some about themselves. It was not an indiscriminate sermon. If you look at chapter 4, verse 25, you see multitudes thronged to him. And basically, why? Because he was healing people. And if I could do that today, this building would not hold the people that would throng to us. But I can tell you this, if I could do that, if I could heal, there was a little fellow at the baby shower yesterday, he was coughing and sick. And Ellen, I thought to myself, I wish I could go up there and lay my hands on that little fellow and just make it to where all of a sudden it was gone. I felt for it, you know. Now most individual adults, I don't feel that way for them, but have it on the tape too.
Yeah,
but you understand what I'm saying? But listen, if I could do that, if I preached the gospel that I preach, even if I could do that, they'd leave.
Yeah.
They'd still leave. Because they did the Christ of God.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
He healed people, raised the dead. But when he began to preach and teach, they got mad and left.
True.
And that's just what the truth does to people.
Yes, sir.
But here, multitudes thronged him, but you'll read that he went up into a high mountain, and when he was set, then he called his disciples unto him.
Sure.
We know one of them was an imposter, right?
Oh, yeah.
Judas was an imposter. And I figure some of the multitude came with. There are those in the New Testament that are called disciples, but you find out that as he began to preach, they began to filter away. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
That's what it says.
But still, basically, this was not some indiscriminate sermon to the masses. The Bible always has certain recipients in mind.
Yes, sir.
Even when, was it Isaiah or one of them, preached concerning Satan's fall? And he's actually talking to Satan about himself,
yeah.
But still to Satan.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? This Bible's not just written for everybody, everything in it for everybody, and everything applies to everybody. It's just not so.
Yeah.
It's not an indiscriminate sermon. Number three, it was a sermon to some about others.
Yeah.
Chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees.
Yeah.
So he was talking to some about others. And I know there are people who get upset with me and others who believe the gospel because we always talk about these other people. Look, we're warning men and women about these other people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You keep saying, you've heard them say, you've heard them say, but I say unto you. That's the way our Lord preached. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the Sermon on the Mount was a sermon to some about others. A fourth observation from the Sermon on the Mount. It was a sermon with warning against presumption. Go to chapter 7, verses 21, 22, and 23. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, let us in. Look what we've done.
Yeah.
Or not so much look what we've done, but Lord, they expect to go in because of what they've done. And our Lord said, I'll tell them no. And then what he says? He said, I'll tell them no. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And I don't care what kind of presumption you got, whether it's the presumption of free will, whether it's the presumption of works for justification, or whether it's the presumption of I'm a Calvinist, therefore I'm okay. Whatever your presumption is, whatever your sandy foundation is,
yeah.
If your house, you got a house, that's all well and good, but if your house is built upon the sand, it'll crumble.
That's right.
If your house is built upon the rock,
yeah.
Your house will stand.
Amen.
And many men have houses.
Oh, yeah.
Most men in this world have houses. Some are in pagan religion, but a lot of it's in Christianity. And every person who professes to be a Christian is building a house, whether they realize it or not. The problem is not so much the house, it's what the house is built upon.
Amen.
That's what our Lord taught. He warned against presumption. Don't ever presume on God.
Yeah, that's right.
Number five, it was a message to the Jews. Wasn't it? It's a message. Look at verse 21 of chapter 5. Ye have heard that it was said unto them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, he's not saying what they say is wrong. And that's not what he's saying, but he's saying, I've got something more to put with this. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Reka shall be in danger of the council. That word is Sanhedrin. It would be actually... Most Gentiles would have no idea if we just use the word today, council. What are you talking about, council? He talked about the Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
Now, a couple things. That's Jewish.
Yeah.
That's Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just add a little one, a little side note here. There are those who feel the Sermon on the Mount is a thousand-year kingdom message.
Yeah.
They think the kingdom of Christ is 1,000 years and 1,000 years only, and it's still yet to come, and it'll last for 1,000 years. Well, let me tell you, I got no, even in the Old Testament prophecies of the kingdom, the coming kingdom, and even if part of it is going to be fulfilled in the 1,000 years when Christ reigns on this earth, which I believe the scripture teaches, I got no reason to believe there's going to be a Sanhedrin during the 1,000 years. Now, do you understand what I'm getting at here? Huh? There are those, in other words, who think this message is about the kingdom. Well, the Jews rejected the kingdom, so the kingdom was postponed, and then all of this will then be valid again one day when 1,000 years come. That's not so. And when you approach the scripture that way, you do it for one reason, so you can pick and choose what you want. Well, that applies to 1,000 years, and when that don't, that applies to now, and that applies to yesterday, and this one applies to tomorrow. And most of the time, they don't apply anything to today and themselves.
Right?
But this is still a Jewish message. Now you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You look at it. You read it. He said, "Beware, you know." But the Gentiles seek all this stuff. Don't seek after that. Number six, it has passed application. Look at it, verse 22. But we read that part. But whosoever shall say, "Thou fool," shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. That's specifically Jewish, right there. But there's still a sound lesson for that today. Christ is teaching a principle that is still absolutely sound today. Don't think you can worship God only Godward and not pay the respect toward your fellow humanity that God commands of fellow respect toward your fellow humans. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I'm going to worship God and I don't care about any responsibility to everybody else. That won't work. You understand what I'm getting at? I'm going to worship God, but I could care less about my fellow man. It don't work that way. Although we can be very religiously prone to do that. As long as I'm worshiping God, it don't matter what I do to men. It don't work that way. God sets up kings, and God sets up presidents, and God sets up secretaries of state, and all of these things. And you resist that ordinance, you resist the ordinance of God. You see, there's still, Mason, application of God's truth to any person under any age. You know, under any time. It has future hope. Chapter 6, look at it, verse 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which is in which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And that's the way every prayer of a believer should start out.
Yes, sir.
Honoring God for who he is.
Yes,
holy.
Right.
Separate. Totally different from anything else in whatever he is.
Yeah.
Above everything. But then look, thy kingdom come. In whatever aspect it is.
Yes, sir.
There are some who, when they read that, they think the 1,000 years. But remember, the scripture says Christ's kingdom shall be forever. There shall be no end.
Amen.
And then the book says that when the 1,000 years are ended. Huh? So therefore, the 1,000 years themselves can't be the kingdom. They can at best, Mason, be a part of the kingdom, but they're not the kingdom. And we know since believers are even now presently being translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, you can't be translated into what don't exist. You know? So these things are not so dry and simply cut as some dispensationalist would want you to believe. But it's never wrong to pray for Christ's kingdom to come. I've been praying for that, and we see a part of it happen just this morning when a young lady stands up and says, God Almighty, save my soul. That's a part of the kingdom coming, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you, this is not the end of it. Is it?
Exactly.
If this is the end of it, the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the kingdom fall far short of the glory of that kingdom.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now. That's just a fact. It has future hope. Number 8, it has warnings relative to now about the future. In other words, many will come to me in that day. But you can't wait to that day to get everything settled.
Exactly.
Everything has to be settled today before that day in the end arrives.
Amen.
Because if you wait till that day, you may be in real, real trouble.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And according to our Lord's words, these all have present vitality at any time. Look,
yes, sir.
This is the summary, if you will, of his Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, not just the last specific sayings, but what? From the Beatitudes all the way through. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and a Calvinist is going to read this to you now.
There you go.
Now, most of you, if you understand what, and doeth them.
Amen.
That's what he said, right? And doeth them. Well, y'all, I thought y'all didn't believe in doing. No, I just need God-led doing. God-caused doing. That's what I need. And doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that what? That built his house upon a rock.
Amen.
But there's also a foolish man.
Yes, sir.
He built his house upon what? On sand. And when the rains came and the floods rose up, what happened? The house on the sand fell. But it didn't just fall.
That's right.
Great was the fall of it. Think of the hope dispelled and dispersed and just shot down in that day.
Yes,
people, there will people, somebody say, but don't everybody that wants to go to heaven get to go to heaven? No!
That's right.
Millions will want to go, but won't go. But this is true because he started out with this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
Do you see that? Isn't that a glory?
Yes, sir.
So what does this one beatitude, what's it talking about? I started once to give you a quote of a fella, but then I thought, it don't matter. There's no need me to fill your head full of that stuff and then try to refute for 15 minutes what he said. I've done that before and may do it again, but it's not necessarily this morning. I want to give you 11 things concerning this one verse. There are some things that are strictly straight to said right here. I mean, we know it's absolutely true because it says it this way.
Yes, sir.
But because certain words are used and things are said, we can also infer other things that go along with it. And like I said, you think for yourselves. Listen to these 11 things I'm going to give you. First of all, let me read it again. Verse 6 of chapter 5. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember those few words, hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness.
Amen.
Remember them for sure. Those are the key. Those are the crux. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what I want to talk about. Blessed hunger and thirst.
Amen.
Blessed hunger and thirst. We don't generally think of the hungering and the thirsting being blessed, do we? We think of the field being blessed.
Yeah.
But this says, blessed are they which do. Not, if a man hungers and thirsts, then he will be blessed. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
You see how it's said, the words that are used, the order they're used in, what he actually says? First of all, number one of 11, these 11 things, blessing precedes filling.
Yeah.
Yes, if you read that, you can see that, right?
Yes, sir.
Blessing precedes filling.
That's right.
But also, blessing precedes hunger and thirst.
Amen.
And I don't mean just in word order, but in fact of what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, for they shall be. So they're blessed even before they're filled. So while the blessing precedes the filling, the blessing also precedes what? The hunger and the thirst.
Amen.
That's, isn't that clear?
Yeah.
You don't have to be a theologian to see that. Number two, hunger and thirst are a blessing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You see right. that? Hunger and thirst are a blessing.
Yes, they are.
When a person falls, and I like that word, when a person falls under true, bona fide, spirit conviction, they begin to have this hunger and thirst, but it don't feel like a blessing.
That's right.
It can even feel like a curse.
Yeah.
But it's still a blessing.
Amen.
You know? Because, and I want to jump ahead, but I'll mention it again. What drives you to the table to eat?
Exactly.
Being hungry and thirsty.
There you go.
You see it? Yeah. So the hunger and the thirst in themselves are a blessing. Though they certainly don't feel like it.
Exactly.
Especially when they first began. Right? When they first began. So hunger and thirst are a blessing. Why? Overall, is no doubt, they shall be filled.
Amen.
But it didn't say, well, but they're going to do this. No, but they shall be.
Amen.
If they're hungry and thirsty, it means they're already blessed.
Yeah.
And if they're blessed to be hungry and thirsty, his conclusion is, they shall be filled.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious? Now, one fellow, the one I was going to give you the quote on, basically applied all this to the 1,000-year reign of Christ.
Okay.
And he basically righteousified us, and what we're really wanting is everything else around us to be like what we are inside.
Oh.
That ain't what he's talking about here. That ain't what he's talking about here. Hunger and thirst are a blessing. They shall be filled.
Amen.
Because that's God's purposed end to this matter. All right, so number three, the hunger and the thirst is after a specific article. Right?
Yeah.
Blessed are they which do hunger, which do. Now, it's real hunger and thirst now.
Yeah.
Not natural hunger and thirst, but still real hunger and thirst nonetheless. The hunger and the thirst is after righteousness.
Amen.
Righteousness. But then my question was, before whom?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be before God? What if you're righteous before all your fellow men, but you're not righteous before God?
No,
you're a goner. He's the one that matters.
Yeah.
Right? But what if you're righteous before Him, but everybody else thinks bad of you? What does it matter?
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What does it matter? Now, I know it matters in a natural sense. I mean, none of us want to live in total misery with all of our companions around us hating and despising us. But if a man don't think I'm righteous, that don't mean squat if God Almighty sees me as righteous.
Amen.
You understand that?
But
if God Almighty don't see me as righteous, it doesn't matter if all of my comrades on this earth thinks there's one of the most righteous men that ever walked. The hunger and thirst is after righteousness, yes, but it's before whom?
Yeah.
And it's of whom?
Yes.
Of whom? Look at chapter 6, that one verse, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yes, amen.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
First of all, it's his. Not something even he gives to you. First of all, it's his. What is real righteousness? Look at God, strictly considered, and you'll see true righteousness.
Amen.
You'll see his righteousness. As a matter of fact, Paul, one of the reasons Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel. There are a couple there. One, it's the power of God unto salvation. That's true.
Yeah.
And it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's true. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's also true. But it also says, for therein, here's another reason I'm not ashamed, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed.
Amen.
From faith to faith.
Amen.
So the hunger and thirst is after righteousness, but it's before whom and of whom. This righteousness is not just any kind of righteousness.
Yeah.
As long as I'm a moral person, it don't mean squat.
Yeah.
It don't mean squat. Now, does that mean you can be immoral and everything's okay? No. No. But morality itself won't cut it because it's God's righteousness we're talking about.
Amen.
We're talking about hungering and thirsting after not a human righteousness, not a legal righteousness, but a God righteousness.
Amen.
That's the real righteousness. Be now your Father in heaven's perfect. Be perfect like Him.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's a tall order. Oh, but blessed are they who hunger and thirst after it. Huh? Why? For they shall be. What? Filled. Filled. So that was number three. Here's number four. Hunger and thirst. It doesn't say it, but you know this is true. Hunger and thirst are personal needs. Private individual needs. I can't hunger and thirst for you and you be filled. You see what I'm saying? That's why I use those two words. It's not just blessed are they that desire righteousness. You can desire it for somebody else. But hunger and thirst are what? Personal needs. Do you see it? That you cannot, you can't, well, I can give somebody food. Yeah, but you know, the old, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know? There are people that eat and then throw it back up. You know what I'm saying? You see, the hunger and the thirst are personal. You can't take nobody else in with you.
That's right.
Though 5,000 walk in the door with you, you didn't bring them with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
It was just God's sovereign purpose that at the same time, y'all were all hungry and thirsty, and He began to fill all of you at the same time.
Yes, sir.
That's what it was all about. So hunger and thirst are personal needs. Number five, what is the personal need? We've already mentioned. What is it? What's the personal need? Righteousness. That's my chief need.
Yes, sir.
You see it? And Paul says, I don't need righteousness which is of the law. That's what he said, didn't he?
That's right.
That's not what I long for, Paul says. Oh, that I might be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. We're not the hunger and thirst here is after a specific righteousness. It's the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay? In Christ. If you leave Christ out of the equation, you've lost the whole thing. Lost the whole thing. So, number five, the personal need is righteousness. But here's number six. Hunger and thirst must be satisfied by something without. Right? If you feast upon your own body, what's going to happen? You will consume yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're hungry and thirsty, what satisfies it? The only thing that will satisfy hunger and thirst is something from without that you don't have naturally.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, all men, granted, all men can hunger and thirst naturally.
Yep.
But all men do not hunger and thirst after righteousness.
That's exactly right.
And specifically, the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
That's
so, hunger, number six, hunger and thirst must be satisfied by something without. Number seven, hunger and thirst being filled. Hunger and thirst. Remember, those are the words. Hunger and thirst being filled demands consumption. Doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
That's right.
God don't feed us intravenously.
Exactly.
And we just lay there like a vegetable, but we keep on going. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Now, some people think we kind of believe that because we believe in free sovereign grace. No, what we're saying is God Almighty makes you so hungry and thirsty after the righteousness of Him in Christ Jesus that you will then consume Christ Jesus.
Yes,
He becomes everything to you.
Yeah.
You care about Him. You love Him. You want to learn of Him. You want to pray with Him and to Him and everything. The whole thing will be bound up in Him. Remember Christ said, "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood." That's the one that has eternal life in Him.
That's what it says.
So hunger and thirst being filled. It's just amazing how smart our Lord was. And that is being almost feels blasphemous me even say that way. I would have never even thought, okay, hunger and thirst are going to particularize this thing.
Exactly.
I'd have thought, you know, they that desire.
Yeah.
They that really want righteousness. You see what I'm saying? No, he said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst, because it qualifies so many things.
Exactly.
Do you see what I'm saying in all of these points? Hunger and thirst being filled demands consumption. But here's number 8. Consumption. That is in line with what this is talking about. I'm not talking about gluttony now. I'm not talking about gluttony. Eating just for eating's sake. Drinking just for drinking's sake. Well, what do we call that? We call that a drunk.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course, I guess he's not talking about liquor, but we're talking about water. But you understand what I'm talking about? Now, consumption is no mere act of the will, but a response of absolute necessity.
Exactly.
Somebody said, well, if you just will, oh, that's fine. But Christ said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. This is not just why I will to eat something. No, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. And the only thing that will help is to consume it out of absolute need.
Yes,
I cannot but consume it.
Yeah.
If you can leave Christ alone, you don't know Christ. If you can leave Him alone, you're not truly hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Because blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So consumption is no mere act of the will. It is an act of the will. But it is no mere act of the will. It must go with absolute necessity. Do you see that? It's what I got to have. You know, it's what I got to have. Now here's number 9. We'll get close to the end here. Man, I've got 10 minutes before even 12 o'clock. I need to go back and make a few other points here. Think about it. Consumption of absolute necessity is joyfully willing. Isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're hungry and thirsty, does somebody have to force you against your will to go to the table and eat?
No.
Huh?
No,
is it God's got to get your head and push it down in it? And, you know, or I'm like the mother on the Christmas story, whatever, you know, feeding the mashed potatoes to her little boy? No. If God Almighty blesses you with a hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will joyfully, willingly consume Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You'll be glad to sit at the table.
Yeah. That's right.
And you'll remember that you're nothing but a beggar plucked off a dunghill.
That's right.
And made to sit with princes and kings.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
So consumption of absolute necessity is joyfully willing. You know, there are people who actually have said before, y'all people teach it, God drags people kicking and screaming against their will. You know, right into heaven. You know? No. That's not the gospel. Some may have taught that. Some may still teach that, but that's not the point. Christ said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not the stuffed. Filled. See, stuffed means against the will. Filled is what? And you just eat, and you can eat, and you can eat. You see what I'm saying? And you can eat until what? Until one day. You will be what? You shall be what?
Filled.
Filled. All right, number 10. Joyful willingness must be. Now, this is a gimme. You know, this is a putt that far. You know, the hole, it's right on the rim. All you got to do is tap it right in. Joyful willingness must be predicated by hunger and thirst.
Yes, sir.
People in religion are trying to make people joyfully willing, but they're not hungry and thirsty.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, you need to do this. Yeah, they all need to. We all need to do this. But the ultimate question is this: are you hungry and thirsty after righteousness? Take hope. You shall be filled.
Amen.
Why? Because Christ said so.
Yes, sir.
You know? And he was a Calvinist before it was in vogue to be a Calvinist.
That's true.
Now, I'm being a smart aleck there. You know what I'm... But he was free, sovereign grace, all the way down the line. You know why? Because he's the starter of it finisher of it.
That's right.
Joyful willingness must be predicated by hunger and thirst. So we're right back to square one. What's my problem? Well, I don't have one. Then you won't be filled.
There you go.
You're okay. Right? Go on.
Oh, yeah.
Go on!
Exactly right.
And you might be one of those in the end that... And he says, no, you're not coming in.
Yeah, that's right.
But blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So joyful willingness must be predicated by hunger and thirst. But here's the 11th one, the last one. And this is where I jumped ahead of myself. But you know the answer. Who is the blesser?
That's right.
Is that the way? Is it a blesser? You know, a blesser and a blessee? Is that what it'd be? You know what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Should it be whom? See, I got a who and a whom right here together, Jonah. I ain't for sure. Maybe who? Is that right? Who is the blesser? Who is the blesser? Who do you think the blesser is here?
He is.
God is.
Amen.
And he has to bless you to even have a need. Because none of us by nature are hungry and thirsty after righteousness.
Amen.
Oh, we may hunger and thirst after our own, but that won't cut it.
Exactly.
But that's not the kind he's talking about.
That's right.
So who is the blesser? God is the blesser.
Amen.
Right? Now anybody, if you don't, any person, I say you, I'm not talking about anybody specifically necessarily here. But if anybody thinks God's not the blesser, then it doesn't matter what I've said today, it's not going to change your mind. It's not going to make a difference to you. But if you know God's the blesser, then whenever you give credit to anybody, then who gets all the credit? The blesser. Right? If you try to take any credit for yourself, what are you doing? What are you saying to the blesser? You didn't do it all.
Exactly.
Huh? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I will summarize. There are just 11 things. There were more. I sat down this morning. Penny and Kathy were there, and I made this two pages down into one because I knew I'd never get done. It'd have to be a two-message deal, and that would have been all right, but because Ray and Kathy are here, and didn't know that this young, there was a reason why, in other words. I sat down and rewrote all this morning. Now, out of these 11 things that I've given you, there are more than that, but these are 11, I think, these are 11 scripturally founded statements that I've given you this morning from that one verse, right?
Yep.
These 11 things. Now, listen, there is but one message that fits Christ's sayings. There is but one message that fits specifically, now all the sayings, but in especially chapter 5, verse 6.
That's right.
There is but one message that fits. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Yeah.
There is but one message. Now I'm going to read it to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And for the sake of time, verse 26. For ye see your calling.
Yeah.
So if you're called, what's that mean? Where does the calling come from? Without. The caller. Yeah. You see that?
Yeah.
The caller. It comes from most people are wanted. Just all they care about is men's response to a call.
Yeah.
And they rarely ever talk about the caller and the calling.
That's
and
right.
You know why? Because they really don't believe that that makes any real difference.
You're right.
Because God's trying to call everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? God, that's what they teach. That's what they preach. God's trying to call everybody, and then those who are either wise enough, smart enough, spiritual enough, whatever, become hungry and thirsty enough, and then they answer. Is that what this says? Now look, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many So that lets, I'm not that smart, but I know this means not all.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and there's still hope for even them. Yeah. Right? Because it doesn't say not any, just not many. Now that's what God says through his apostle.
Yeah.
This is inspired word. Not many are called. You see that? But God hath, and I can't get away from it because this is what God says. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Amen.
Now here's the question. Yeah. You say you're hungry and thirsty? That's great.
Yeah.
You shall be filled. But when you're hungry and thirsty, you take your place with everybody else that's hungry and thirsty.
Right.
Don't you?
Yes, sir.
And notice what he says. It's the foolish things. Can you take your place as one of the foolish things of the world?
Yeah.
Huh? You see that? God hath chosen. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not.
Yeah.
Can you take your place with the nothings? That young lady this morning told me on the porch. She said, I am nothing. I think she may have even said that here too.
Yeah.
But as long as, you know, I'm nothing. There's two things that God does for every person he saves them. That he saves. He shows them who they are, and he begins to show them who they are, and he begins to show them who Christ is.
Amen.
There's the two main things.
Yeah.
It always starts there. There's a lot else to come, but it always starts there. Until it starts there, you've not been called. You've not been saved. You're not really going to be, you cannot be hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Because when he shows you what you really are, you realize you got none.
Exactly.
And when he shows you who Christ really is, you realize there's where it's at.
Amen.
There's where it's at.
Amen.
That's the gospel. Because look, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are, that are. Enigma language, but true nonetheless. But then look, why? Why did God do it that way? That no flesh should glory in his presence, and they will not. Because
Amen.
Many will say, Lord, we've done all this, and he says, you're not coming in.
That's right.
Amen. You see it? Now look, but of him
yes.
are ye in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You see that? Who of God is made unto us. This is what we then, when God puts us in Christ, what we experience of Christ.
Yes.
Right.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. What? Wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Now listen to me. Even if you was born and raised under the gospel, until God Almighty placed you in Christ, you didn't really know Christ as those things.
That's right.
Until he puts you in Christ, and he did, but of God are you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You see that?
Right.
Sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written. Now here's the, who is saved and who's not.
Yeah.
He that glorieth, what's he going to glory in?
Yeah.
Just one thing and one thing only.
Yes.
That he, that is that Joe you was talking about. Here's the summary of all this deal. Yeah. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
You see that? That's what we're preaching. That's the election we're talking about, the predestination we're talking about, the calling we're talking about. That's the whosoever will.
Yes, sir.
The question is, will you?
Yeah.
There are a lot of whosoever wants out there.
Oh, yeah.
But are you truly a whosoever will? Well, who made you that way?
Exactly.
Huh? Who made you willing?
God
did. You give him the credit. If you give yourself credit, you're not in this group. But if you can give God all the credit, why? Because it had to be. There was no other way. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. First of all, positionally, even right here, we see him. He is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I see all my righteousness up yonder in glory at the right hand of God the Father. I see none of it in here.
Right.
Now you hear what I see none of it in here. Every time I look in here, I become hungry and thirsty after righteousness.
Yeah.
You know? But when I look up there, You see, when I set my affections up there, what do I see? Fullness, Joe.
Amen.
Fullness. But you know what? One day, that fullness will be even where? In here.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'll be in here. That day you're talking about,
yes,
Joe,
sir.
It's going to come. So therefore, the fullness is indeed truly fullness. Isn't it? I mean, one of these days I will be... My problem's not you, although you are a problem. My problem is me.
Exactly.
You know, my problem's me. And when God finally, by His grace, enables me to be done with me, that will be glory.
Amen. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. That'll be glory. But you think you're a pretty good fella. I know, and I'm wrong most of the time.
There you go.
No. I'm wrong all the time.
There you go.
Huh?
Yeah.
Every time, Mason, I thought I'm a pretty good fella, I find out that everything I did, somehow or another, was shot full of hell.
Yeah.
Shot full of sin. And shot full of self. So I'm still today hungry and thirsty after righteousness. But you know what Christ promised me? I shall be what? Filled to the full. That's that whole word, you know? Filled to the full. We'll be done with it. But not just done with it. Joe, to have everything that's glorious. Isn't that something? That's free sovereign grace, folks. That's the only message that fits. It's the only message that fits. Why? Because it's the only message that's true.
Amen.
Father, teach us this lesson. Oh God, make us hungry and thirsty after righteousness. And help us to rest upon your promise that they shall be filled. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.